Well, good morning again. If you take your Bibles this morning and turn to John chapter 14 and verse 27, once you find your place there, if you are able to stand with me, would you stand for the reading of the Word of God? John 14, verse 27. Says, "Peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you, not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." Let's pray. Father in heaven, we are very thankful for the peace that the Lord Jesus Christ gives. We're thankful for salvation in Jesus Christ. We're thankful for the opportunities you give us to meet together here in your house, to come to meet with you and to hear from you. I pray, Father, this morning that you would again put the very words in my mouth that I need to preach, that you would give me boldness, that we would be ready and receptive to hear from your word. And not just be hearers of the word, but be doers of the word. That we would take these things and apply them to our lives. Share them with a lost and dying world that more people could come to know Christ as Savior. We thank you for what you're going to accomplish today. We thank you for each one that's here and pray for those who aren't. That they would be brought back to us to where we could worship together again. For it's in the blessed name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ that we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Anxiety in the world seems to be a problem today, not just with the saved, but also not just the unsaved, but also saved people. And we can understand why, when it's unsaved people, why they're anxious in this world, but it's harder to understand why saved people. Why is it such a problem with saved people as well? There are two words printed in this. These words were printed under a tranquil scene on a calendar. It said, "Today is the tomorrow we worried about yesterday." Isn't that how it goes? We spend a lot of time worrying about tomorrow. I've said many times, and I believe wholeheartedly, we don't know we have a tomorrow. We spend a lot of time worrying about something we might not even have. And I've said many times, too, that worrying doesn't change it, does it? Things are going to happen rather regardless, so worrying about it isn't going to change anything. We spend a lot of time, and people in our society walk around carrying their burdens of the past, the burdens of the present, and the burdens of the future on their shoulders every single day of their life. God has told us to bring our burdens to Him and lay them at His feet. Let Him take care of those. We need to understand that we can get rid of those. We can take those burdens to the Lord Jesus Christ and get rid of those. We can load our life down with all the cares of this world and all, if we want to. And in a matter of time, it's going to collapse. We are going to collapse under the load of all that care and all that burden and all that stuff that we don't need to deal with. And we just turn them over to God. And many people have inflicted themselves with all these burdens. When we, as Christians, we just need to learn what the Lord teaches us over in Matthew chapter 6. So if you'll turn there, starting in verse 25. Matthew chapter 6, starting in verse 25. "Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, nor yet for your body what ye shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. If we would just get that, there's a simple lesson that God has taught us there. We don't need to worry about everything. We just don't. God's going to take care of us. I can tell you, through personal experience, he's not always early, but he's never late. I find that God's always on time, and that no matter what the need is, notice I didn't say want, no matter what the need is, he's taking care of it. And he knows what our needs are, I think, before we even have any idea. So we need to just trust him. This passage of scripture I just read determines whether or not we are going to have peace in our life. Because we choose. We need to live one day at a time trusting in God. We don't know that we have tomorrow, like I said, but we sure worry about it. Instead of just trusting that God's got tomorrow already taken care of, we don't have to be concerned about it. We live in this world of anxiety. The Lord said how we're to live this life. He never promised us that life would be easy. For some reason, people have this idea, you know, I became a Christian and God's going to take care of me and I don't have to deal with anything and life is just easy street. And it's almost like the mentality of, I'm entitled, right? I'm entitled to God doing everything. I don't have to do anything. No, that's not what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we still have to do our part, but God will take care of us and we can have peace. We're going to have difficulties in life. I mentioned during the sin, we are going to have difficulties. Why? Because there's sin in the world. How we deal with those difficulties is going to determine whether or not we can enjoy life or it's a burden. These things that are in our lives, these terrible things that happen, these things that aren't quite what we wanted them to be, these difficulties, are because there's sin in the world. We have to determine that no matter what, we're still going to live our life according to the Word of God. We're still going to have peace, the peace that He gives us, and not be worried about things that we can't control anyway. There's so much that goes on in the world that drive people to a point of almost insanity because they're so concerned about things they have no control over. We're anxious for things that we don't even need to be anxious about. So what kind of peace does the Lord provide? He provides a parting peace. He imparts his peace to us. In our text, verse 27, says, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. He's addressing Christians. This is addressed to Christians. He makes them a problem. Peace I leave with you. We can have peace. It's our choice. We can have it. Anxiety could be a problem with the unsaved, but it certainly should not be a problem with saved people. God says, I leave you. He gives us peace. If I'm anxious or worried or bent out of shape or any of those things, it's because there's something in my life that God does not want to be there. God never intended for it to be there. One of the ways we can know if God is in our private life or our public worship service is that when He is there, there is peace. If we don't have the peace of God in our life, it means something's wrong. There's something that's not right. Something that needs to get right. If a church does not have the peace of God, it's because something is wrong. He said, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. The Corinthian church had a lot of unrest in it. And Paul wrote this, if you turn to 1 Corinthians 14:33. First Corinthians chapter 14 and verse 33, it says, for God is not the author of confusion, but of peace, as in all churches of the saints. You get that? God's not the author of confusion. I can tell you who is. Satan. But God is the author of peace. Peace. Anytime we have chaos in our life or chaos in the church, it is not coming from God. Paul said, God is not the author of confusion, but of peace. The Lord said, peace I leave with you. He didn't say, chaos I leave with you. He said, peace I leave with you. So when did the Lord promise this peace? He announced it when He told His disciples He was going to be departing. I'm going to be leaving you, and oh, by the way, I'm going to leave you peace. This word peace or shalom was the common word Jews used as a greeting and as a benediction when departing from one another's company. So it was very appropriate for the Lord Jesus Christ to say this, knowing He was soon going to depart, to say, shalom, I give you peace. They knew Jesus was leaving. They knew the Jewish authorities wanted to kill Him. They also knew that their very own lives were in jeopardy. And the Lord's departure was a stressful time for these disciples. But when Jesus uses the word peace here, it takes on a whole new meaning because of who He is. He's the Son of God, God in the flesh. He's the Savior dying for our sins. He's the lily of the valley, the rose of Sharon, the bright morning star. We know Him as the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the end. And the Bible also teaches that He is the Prince of Peace in Isaiah 9:6. Many want to have peace with their life without having the Prince of Peace. Can't have it. You can't have peace in your life without the Prince of Peace. He said, my peace. See, it's His. He says, my peace I give unto you. How can Jesus give me peace when peace is an intangible object? How can Jesus leave such an intangible item as peace? If peace came in a box and it was all wrapped up and a nice bow on it and all, we would understand but it doesn't. It's an intangible object. But the answer is found in John chapter 14, verses 16 through 18, where it says, "And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you." He sends the Holy Spirit. Jesus sends the Holy Spirit. This is the Holy Spirit of God, which comforts us. I've said over and over, thank God for the Holy Spirit. He places peace within us. I don't claim to know what God's will for your life is. I did, as a member of a church years ago, the pastor always said, this is God's will for your life, and this is God's will for your life. I don't know what God's will for your life is. God's not going to tell me his will for your life. He's going to tell you his will for your life. He's going to tell me his will for my life. But I don't know what his will for all your lives is. But I can tell you this, that you can have peace. You can have his peace in your life. And it's his will that you have that. He said again, "Peace I leave with you. My peace will abide in you." And then number two, a personal peace. Our text again. He says, "Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world giveth, give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid." This kind of peace he wants us to have is his peace. He says, "My peace." The peace that comes from the Prince of Peace. He wants you to have that peace. The psalmist said, "Thou art with me. Thou art with me." We can go through anything that this old world throws at us because we know that God is with us. As his children, he is with us, and we know we can do that. It doesn't matter if we walk through the valley of the shadow of death. It doesn't matter because we have him with us. Life can turn sour in a very short period of time. It doesn't take much. We can be healthy one day and lose our health in the moment. I learned real quick in 1993 when I was headed home from work one night and a guy blew through the stop sign and totaled three vehicles, mine being one of them. I found out that life can change in a hurry. You can go from being a young man thinking we're invincible, right, to I hurt so bad. Death could not hurt this bad. Death is for a moment, right? And then you wake up and you're in heaven. I mean, how bad can it be? This pain and suffering was horrible. And I thought, wow. And life changed in an instant. I went from working to being without a job. Life changes quickly. You can have a wonderful marriage. And God calls your spouse home. You're left here by yourself. You can have all kinds of money, and in an instant it can all be gone. You can have friends all around you, and one day you wake up and find out you're all alone. I remember talking with Dad several years back, and he said, all the people that I've hung around, all the people I've known, my family and all, they're all gone. Now it's just me. I get it. It can be where things change in an instant. And we don't even realize it sometimes. And difficulties can be real severe at times. But it's during these times that God, our Lord, says, "My peace I give unto you." The Holy Spirit is with the believer each day to comfort them and to give them His peace that passeth all understanding. He demonstrated the kind of peace He had when He was here on this earth. Our Lord Jesus Christ, over and over and over, when the disciples panicked, He was in control. I think it's amazing, right? His enemies were fighting Him. He was at peace and in control. Satan, he gave Jesus his best shot, and Jesus was at peace and in control. He showed us that you can be at peace and in control no matter what the situation is, because we have the peace that He has given us. His peace. I think of this when He's on the boat and He's quietly sleeping, right? And the disciples are panicked, right? It's like, we are in the midst of a storm here. What is He thinking? And He's at peace and in control. Look at Mark chapter 4. Verses 38 through 40. Mark 4, verse 38 says, "And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith?" Yeah, there was no peace in their life at that moment, right? They were panicked. Jesus said, "Why? What's going on here?" I wonder if Jesus looks at our lives and said, "Why are you so panicked? I'm at peace. I'm still in control. Why are you so panicked?" Well, because we get our eyes off the Savior and we get our eyes on the situation and panic sets in. Here's these disciples. They're frantically trying to keep the boat afloat, right? And they're thinking, what is going on? These waves are crashing in. They wake up Jesus screaming, "Master, carest thou not that we perish?" He's like, "I got this," right? "I don't know what your problem is. I'm right here." As he says to all believers, "I will never leave thee nor forsake thee." He was right there with them. These guys have lost it. They want him to jump to their command and do something like now, right? "Why are you letting all this happen? We're about to perish." And they're looking at him and they're saying, "Why don't you get up and see the mess that we're in?" And they expect Jesus to jump to his feet and, "Oh my goodness, what are we going to do?" And instead, he says, "Peace, be still." Our troubles come from two places. First of all, they come from ourselves. People say, "Well, that's not my fault." Yes, we bring a lot on ourselves. We find because we place ourselves in situations, and that's when we find so much trouble. And then also because we refuse to trust the Lord, we have problems in our life. We're going to have problems in our life. We need to turn them to Him. He's going to get us through those. But when we try to fix it on our own, we fail miserably. because we leave him out of the equation. He's the one that we need. When we look to self, folks, mankind will fail you. Newsflash, we are mankind. We will fail ourselves. Jesus will not fail us. Then they also come from others. The devil will send people into our lives. They'll bring a dump load of troubles and dump them on us. It's amazing, but it happens. And if we give them a solution to a problem, they'll immediately let you know that it's not going to work. Immediately. People want chaos. It's amazing. And people, well, that's not true. Look around. There were people flocking to the Summer of Love in Seattle. Why? Because there was chaos going on and people want chaos. We've got Chicago. They talk about all the people, you won't hear it on regular news, by the way, all the people that are murdered in Chicago every single day. And they say, what's going on? People are flocking to Chicago. I don't know about you. If I thought that there was a chance that somebody would gun me down in Chicago, I probably wouldn't flock there. Right? I went to Atlanta, the underground in Atlanta. First time I'd ever been to Atlanta, I was there for work. And we got there, of course, they're 3 hours ahead there. We got there and we're still wide awake. So we thought, well, we got a few hours tonight. We could go do something. So we went to the underground. We show up at the place where we're supposed to work the next morning. And they said, what did you do last night? We went to the underground. Do you know 3 innocent bystanders were murdered there last night? I said, yeah, they had a gang shootout down there and 3 innocent people got killed. I said, well, we didn't see any of that or hear any of that. And we were there. Thank you, Lord. Had I known they were killing people down there, I wouldn't have gone there. I don't want the chaos. But there's people that flock to it. They love it. Some people love problems. The one thing that makes people angry is for us to walk around with the peace of God in our lives and smile on our face, and they get all bent out of shape because they want the chaos. The old saying, misery loves company. It's true. Their attitude in life towards others is, how dare you not panic the way that I do? And what kind of friend are you? Don't you even care? Yeah. I care that apparently you don't have the peace of God that you could have. It's obvious that they don't have His peace, because the Lord said, He gives us His peace. And by the way, that peace that He gives us is in the good times and in the bad times. It's not just when things are going great, but all the time. And that peace that He gives is a perfect peace, no matter what's going on. You don't have the peace of God in your life, it's an indication that you have allowed the devil to rob you of His peace. Because Jesus said, my peace I give unto you. If you don't have it, it's because you let the devil rob you of it. That's why He has such a great following. The lost world could see the perfect peace He possessed, and they wanted to know how they could have what He had. He was called all kinds of names, but He demonstrated His peace. He was spit upon, and He demonstrated His peace. He was nailed to the cross, and He demonstrated His peace. Can you imagine? This is God Himself, the one who spoke things into existence. As they spit on Him, Can you imagine the pain and suffering he could have inflicted on them? But he had peace, knowing this is why he came. As they were nailing his hands to the cross, can you imagine what he could have done to prevent them from doing that? But he had peace, because that's why he came. They nailed his feet to the cross. Again, he still could have done any number of things to inflict great bodily harm on them, to stop them from what they were doing. He could have taken their very lives from them, and yet he had peace, because that's what he came for. He wants us to have this peace for two reasons. The first one is because he loves us. That's hard for us to wrap our head around, right? We aren't all that lovable, and yet he loves us. And we cannot represent him properly in this world if we're walking around in a panic. I mean, isn't it great to tell people, man, you got to have this Jesus that I got. It's the best thing on earth, and I'm panic-stricken all the time. Okay, then what's so great about your Jesus? But I'll tell you what, if no matter what's going on in your life, you can go around with a smile and joy and peace, it makes people wondering, what's up with that person? What's going on with them? As a Christian, Jesus, through his Spirit, is living inside of me. Inside me dwells the one who has total control, the one who has peace, is on my side. In every situation, it doesn't matter what it is, every situation, whatever you can come up with, whatever you can imagine, every single situation, he's there. And we must learn how to let him reign in our hearts. In Psalm 118:6, Psalms chapter 118 and verse 6 says, "The Lord is on my side. I will not fear. What can man do unto me?" In Romans 8:31 it says, "What shall we say then to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" I mean, if you're on God's side, he's with you, what do we need to be fearful for? Jesus left us his peace, his personal peace of total control in every situation. When things seem out of control, we need to remember, we need to remind ourselves that Jesus is in control. It looks like things are out of control, but Jesus is in control. And then he has a presented peace. When it comes to his peace, it is a gift, like salvation. We have to be willing to receive it. He presents it to us, but we have to be willing to receive that peace. Just as you needed to accept the gift of God for peace with God and eternal life, you must also accept the gift of peace of God. But it needs to be understood, this gift is to the children of God. If you're not saved, this is not a gift that you can claim. This is a gift that God gives to Christians, born-again believers in Jesus Christ. If we want to enjoy the peace of God, we must first become a Christian and then claim this peace that the Lord has provided for us. The lost can't have this peace because they are enemies. They're enemies of God. You can't have the peace of God when you're an enemy of God. In Isaiah 59:2, it says, "But your iniquities have separated between you and your God, and your sins have hid his face from you, that he will not hear." You're not going to get the peace of God if you don't know him as your own personal Savior. The peace that Jesus gives starts with the peace with God. Peace with God is a free gift, and like all gifts, it's got to be accepted. We can accept peace with God through faith in Christ, and we experience the peace of God through faith. Through faith. I like Isaiah 26:3, "Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee." We keeping focused on him? Are we trusting him? We got to look to him by faith to get us through every single day. There's a lot of things going on in this world, but he's the one that gives us peace so we can get through them. Look at Philippians 4:6-7. Philippians 4:6-7. "Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving let your requests be known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He presents us with peace. He offers the lost the gift of peace with God. He offers the Christian the peace of God. Have you accepted both gifts? And then a perfect peace. We need to briefly look at one more thing about peace that Christ gives. It's a perfect peace. It's perfect. The Word of God makes this distinction about his peace. "Not as the world giveth, give I unto you." Whatever the world gives, it isn't perfect. Doesn't matter what it is. Whatever the world gives, it's not perfect. And the world knows nothing about true peace. Nothing at all. There's people that are all excited about this peace agreement going on in the Middle East, right? They're already talking about how they can break it. I bet they had no intention of keeping it when they got together in the first place. Man has no idea what true peace really is. The world cannot have peace because it doesn't want it. You got to want it. You got to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've got to accept the peace that he gives. The world doesn't want it. Some people in this world have built their entire lives around chaos. That's all they know. It's how they get attention. And the more chaos there is, the more attention they get. And they like that. That's what it's all about. They don't want peace. They want chaos. People want the freedom to live their lives the way they want to live them. Not being told by God how they have to live or what they can and cannot do. They want to live their lives on their own, how they want, when they want, why they want, where they want. But God presents his peace to those who want his peace more than they want their own way. See, that's when we have to humble ourselves and submit to him. Say, "God, I want your peace more than I want to live my way. More than I want anything that this world has to offer, I want the peace of God." When we want that more than anything else, we make room for it in our life. And we can have it. We can have that peace. that only Jesus can give. We don't have to live in chaos. It doesn't have to be that way. But we have to choose to accept that peace that He gives us. He says, "My peace I give unto you." That marvelous, wonderful peace that can only be found in the Prince of Peace. As I said, they might talk about peace. They might shout it from the rooftops that there's peace. But they're not going to have peace till they know the Prince of Peace. And they accept the gift of peace that only He gives. This world thinks they know what peace is. They have no idea. Only those who know Christ as their own personal Savior can know this peace that passeth all understanding. Let's pray.